Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We are continuing our talk this week about marriage and trying to encourage people, speaking truth in love, talking about what the Bible says about it. And today we want to give you some hope. We want to talk about some couples that honored that commitment through some just really excruciating circumstances. And I know that there's a lot of marriages that are in just a lot of trouble, really challenged. People feel like giving up. And our goal today is to encourage, as you hear some examples from Greg Williams, who is the director of the Kentucky Marriage Movement. Been with us all three programs this week already, and we just had a great time just really sharing things I think a lot of times people just aren't familiar with about what the Bible says about marriage and how God really does want your marriage to win, how you can help you have a wonderful marriage and heal your marriage. You can go to our website, hopeishere.today, to hear those previous 14-minute programs. That's hopeishere.today. But Greg, one of the things, obviously, Hope Is Here. We want to bring hope, and you've been doing this many years, counseled hundreds of couples. Can you share, obviously, we'll never use names or anything, you never do, but just some unbelievable circumstances where people honored, made a commitment, we're going to honor God, and overcame just some really tough circumstances, and now are still married.
Yeah, Greg, I appreciate that, because as you say, I get your podcast every day and send it out, because I do think you do a great job of connecting these things and seeing the difficulties and the struggles, whatever it would be, loss, grieving, you know, addiction, whatever. Here we are in marriage, and oftentimes it all comes together in that. In the marriage and in the relationship, a lot of times most of us carry the individual concerns and problems that we've buried deep down inside. The other person does the same, and now they more than double. And so there's a blow up or whatever. But it's amazing. I've said this, and I stand by it. This is when we teach people God's word in this, it is 100% effective. Now, obviously, that means that they get it and they apply it. If they don't apply it, it's not going to work. But if they apply it, I found it. And I've found some of the worst situations. You and I have sat with some people and some of the worst things that they've been through and choices that they've made, which is oftentimes the case. It's the choices that they've made. Obviously, you got another person in this, and they're making bad choices as well, usually. But ultimately, there's always hope. I'm going to give you, if we have time, three quick examples. I remember I did a conference at a large church here in Lexington. I did a series, actually. It was like a 7-week series on Sunday morning. And after that, this couple came to me. They were from a foreign country, had grown up, one in the United States, one in South America, but from the same foreign country they'd come from, but two completely different cultures growing up in. So their parents brought the culture itself and the environment they were in brought it. They met at college, got together the way they thought they were supposed to, actually had a pregnancy prior to being married, and that created some issues because they knew they shouldn't have done that. You know, there's grace and forgiveness, but they shouldn't. Well, that came back, and then they had two more children, and they came to me and said, he said to me, she didn't even know it, but I was in an affair several years ago, but I've now caught her in an affair, international affair, flying around. And so obviously these were people of means. And after the 7-week series of going through the love and lordship, which is the message that I give, they came to me. We sat down and met for several months, and they put their marriage back together, eliminated the other things in their life, the other people and the wrongly that they had gotten involved with, and are now working in a marriage ministry on the East Coast where they now reside. And a powerful, powerful example of having completely abandoned one another illegitimately gotten involved in a relationship, which may not have to be physical. It can be mental or emotional, and that can tear you apart. But when you come back to the Lord, first of all, there's grace, there's forgiveness, and then there's freedom in that. But you have to allow Him to take you through that and then take each of you through that together and understand that. So that's one couple. I had another.
Let me say something real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, one of the things that I know there's people listening, and, you know, you've given up hope, and we're going to share a couple more examples. But, you know, a couple things I feel like I want to share. The first thing is you just got to have a conversation about it. You know, admit there is some issues. You know, the Bible says what's done in the darkness, you know, when it's brought in the light, you know, the healing starts there. I've heard a pastor say with the revealing starts the healing.
Yeah, that's good.
So the first thing I just want to encourage you is to go to somebody, you know, your best friend, your pastor, somebody, and say, you know, hey, I've got some problems, you know, with my marriage. Would you pray with me? And then obviously you need to talk to your spouse about it. The second thing is, you know, it's not easy. You know, you heard him say several months, but the thing that I think I would like to say, and Greg, I know you can verify this, is that you didn't get in this mess overnight, so you're not going to get out of it overnight, but the payoff is huge.
Absolutely. Layer by layer, the problems pile up. And oftentimes you have to peel those back like the layers of an onion and get back. But ultimately, the enemy only wants to keep one layer there so you never really see the foundation. When you peel back the last layer and go, you know what? It's because I went back to the garden and the little serpent was standing there and said, you can be Lord of your own life. And you chose to begin doing things like that because the other person wasn't satisfying you. And as a matter of fact, you're not supposed to find it completely in another person. You only find that completely in Christ. And each one of those layers probably has something to do with you went and found it somewhere other than him. Then you blame your spouse. And that doesn't mean they're perfect, nor are you. But yeah, you've got to admit it. Confession is just simply in the Greek, means to agree with. And what you said was, you got to come out and say, I'm in a mess and I've made these choices and it's a mess. But it's worth it if you peel those layers back and get to that. It is worth it. And I've seen many marriages flourish after that.
Well, and for you to the second example, another thing you just said, I think that's huge. Too many people think, you know, their happiness is in their spouse.
Yes.
And God, that's not how God intended
it. No. And that's part of your fulfillment, as are your friends, as are your children. But the ultimate fulfillment is only in Christ. And if we don't find it in Christ, we're going to end up finding problems with every one of those other people, spouse, children, friends. And then we're going to put more layers on because we're probably going to blame them.
Right.
But we got to go back to who is really Lord of your life. Do you understand what love really was? It's not about what they do for you. It's about with him as Lord and my satisfaction and my completion as him, I can surrender and give myself away for the other. That's what love does.
And so, then, another point, but then you're hitting on some great stuff. I love, we talked about selfish, you know, how selfish we all are and dying to self. And, you know, it's what the Bible asks us to do. God does it through Jesus and modeled it through the death of Jesus and washing feet before he went to the death. But the other thing you talked about was blame. And, you know, we live in a culture of people wanting to blame. And I'll tell you, one of the most unbelievable moments in all the counseling I've done in 15 years of ministry was a couple that had been in an affair. The husband had been in an extramarital affair with a co-worker, came clean. The wife sensed it, came clean, you know, after she addressed it with him. They started coming to me from counseling, and obviously she was hurt. She had every right to be. She started reading the Bible, getting involved, and read a couple of books that I recommended. And after about 3 months of counseling, just out of the blue one day, I said, you know, what have you learned through this? She said, well, you know what? I've learned it wasn't all my fault that he had the affair. I have to take some ownership in it, too.
It wasn't all his fault.
Right.
It was partly hers.
Yes.
It always is.
But, you know, that's the thing. People want to blame, because so-and-so did this. Yeah. And I just looked at him. I said, God's going to heal this marriage. I've already seen it. We've been praying and all that. But for you to already 3 months in after this say, you know, I have some ownership. What is my part? What can I learn is huge. And I know that's a message for somebody today. You can never blame. It's never 100% zero, is it?
No, exactly right. It could be 99.1, but the 1% is the only thing you can control. And it's very seldom even that. Because even sometimes when a person feels like, I've done everything, that may be the problem. You've done everything and made him or her completely dependent on you. And when it didn't work out like they wanted, you were just appeasing them. So that one of the things I say in the priority, Dr. Tony Evans out of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, great teacher, Bible teacher, speaker, and on marriage and everything and discipleship and all that. He says that I've taught priority of relationship for 20 years now. And I knew the Lord, there was scripturally, it was right. We often put the church, the body, above the head. In our churches today, that puts us in idolatry. Most of our churches are worshiping the church, not Christ. Yeah. Honestly, I'm saying that, and I get invited to churches, But I tell them that, and some of them won't because of that. But I truly believe that. We are elevating the body above the head, which means we're in idolatry, but we do that all the time with others. And Dr. Evans said this in a conference I was invited to and got to hear him. He said, God is a covenant-making and a covenant-keeping God, and every covenant has an order. So when we take that order out, even if we think we have Christ first, but on down that list, that priority list, we begin to do things our way, ultimately what we've done is we've taken Christ off the top. Because we decided that somewhere down that covenant order, in church or in marriage or in parenting or in friendships, that this would work better if we did it our way. So ultimately, we've taken Christ off out of the lordship position. So no matter what other part you rearrange, no matter what good intent you may have, let's show them how many people we can serve. That'll make our church look good. Well, that's great, but are you serving the marriages where agape love, godly, selfless, sacrificial love is supposed to be evidenced first?
Amen.
If we do it there in the relationship that reflects Christ and his bride, it's probably going to help his bride here.
Absolutely.
In our body. So those things. So I've had a bunch of those, and when people get that, they start, well, how often did you appease your spouse to the detriment of your marriage? And marriage, it brings you two together as one and makes that a priority over either one of you individually. That's part of dying to yourself. Doesn't mean you're not, you don't take care of yourself, you don't take care of your spouse, but you take care of your marriage first. So you don't appease your spouse to the detriment of your marriage.
Give an example of another couple here.
Yeah, I've got a couple of them. One of them came to me, a brother of the wife came to me. I'd known the family for years. He said, man, I understand you're doing some of this. Would you work with my sister and her husband? I knew the families. They were from my home area. I knew them, and I won't say too much more because people will figure it out. But they decided to come to me, drive down from hour and a half, 2 hours away, and came for several weeks in a row and then extended into months. We still stay in touch. This was 8 or 10 years ago, and there was multiple affairs, there was gambling, there was alcohol, there was a variety of things that was just tearing them apart, addictions tearing them apart, and they had gotten into a church that had at least taught enough truth to convict them of that, but they weren't finding out what it really took to put that marriage back together. We went back through the love and lordship message of Scripture, pointed to the fact that how many ways they were appeasing themselves or pleasing themselves rather than the Lord and then one another and working toward their marriage. And today they are happily married. They didn't have any kids. They've got two kids. They're all over Facebook talking about how much God has blessed their marriage because they've chosen to walk in Him. And they were in church for a long time, and yet we're in the middle of affairs and addiction and everything else. And the Lord just completely turned their marriage around. And now with two kids, they have a thriving family and a blessed family and are serving the Lord in many ways. It's powerful.
So what would you say? I mean, what caused that change? What helped make that healing?
Well, it was interesting because every single couple that I sit with and go through this, ultimately it comes back to this. You know what? We thought we were doing okay with the Lord. Because we went to church every Sunday, we took our kids to youth group.
We threw a little money in the plate.
We put the money, we served and everything. I said, but your relationship that reflects Christ and his bride, you weren't submitting to and serving and loving and respecting one another. You thought it was expected of the other person, and they thought it was expected of you, so I thought it would just happen. Remember, we're not born selfless. So marriage teaches us, as discipleship in Christ teaches us, how to die to ourselves. When they began to learn that with Christ and then with one another, it changed everything. Mm-hmm. We got to get outside of that.
I heard Greg say one time, you know, when you get that vertical relationship right, talking about the right relationship with God, spending time with Him, His Son Jesus, all the horizontal relationships, they just go so much better because you've invited God to be His Son Jesus to be a part of them. So we've been talking with Greg Williams. He's the director of the Kentucky Marriage Movement. You can find out more about them at KentuckyMarriage.org. Also, we encourage you to get on their Facebook page, Kentucky Marriage Movement Group. That's the Kentucky Marriage Movement Group. I'm Greg Horn, and we'll be back tomorrow with Greg Williams of the Kentucky Marriage Movement.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800 or online at cmiconsulting.com.